and no man lays it to heart. No one is moved or saddened by it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. All the wisdom and knowledge of the Christian is to be found in the mystery of the cross. Even St. Paul, who was carried out of himself up into the third heaven, will proclaim the same reality, the same message, and had no thought of bringing us any other knowledge than that of Jesus Christ and of Him as crucified. It is there on the cross that Christ, with His arms outstretched, opens before us the book of our redemption, the book of the entire economy of salvation. Today, as on Mount Calvary, He continues to present us with the same mystical book of our salvation. And yet many, too many, remain indifferent or refuse to read from this book, refuse to read in the open wounds of our Lord, in His pierced hands and feet, in His open side, the answer to all their suffering. But let's not be deceived. It was not Judas who condemned Him. It was not the perfidious Pharisees, the prideful Caiaphas, the envious priests, or the malicious mob around Him, thirsty for blood and vengeance. It was not even the coward Pontius Pilate. No, my fellow sinners, it was us. Each and every one of us partakes in the sufferings and death of our beloved Savior. Indeed, we are the authors of His sufferings. More than Judas, who betrayed Him. More than the Jews, who accused Him. More than Pontius Pilate, who condemned Him. And more than the soldiers who crucified Him. On this dreadful day, let's acknowledge finally the malice with which we persecute Him. Let us acknowledge the obedience with which He submits Himself to the most ignominious death. And let us acknowledge the mercy with which He forgives. Let's recognize in the persecutions He endures our own crimes, in the obedience He manifests, our example, and in the mercy and forgiveness He shares, our grace and our hope. His suffering is the divine response to our crimes. The innocent, the just, is treated like a criminal and is put to death, and yet no one is moved, no one is saddened by it, as Prophet Isaiah lamented. Yes, we also stand there on the side of the accusers. Fellow sinners, when will we finally acknowledge the enormity of our crimes and amend our lives to repay the blood of the innocent shed on this day? But the case is closed. The divine sentence was already pronounced, and we shall die and be buried with His blood on our hands. The envy and jealousy of men, like a gangrene, have infected our nature. From Adam to Cain to us, the mark of death is now upon us. With all the people we have answered, His blood is on us and on our children. In offering Himself as victim for all the crimes of the world, he accepts that almost every crime be the cause of his condemnation and death. In a way or another, we see him victim of our envy, jealousy, cruelty, victim of our blasphemies and injures. He's surrounded by false witnesses and becomes the object of men's injustice and perfidy. Even Pontius Pilate, representing the highest authority, an authority given him by God, not finding any charges, washes his hands, and with unbelievable cowardice declares, "I am innocent of this man's blood." Before any other crime or sin, my friends, it is envy that crucified him. It is envy that crucified him, this most detestable passion in us, which leads men to the edge of the precipice way too often. An insignificant contradiction, a small injustice we suffer, a deserved or undeserved offense against our self-love, our self-esteem, and yes, we turn into beasts. And our hearts are inflamed with the fire of vengeance, ready to consume whatever obstacle might obscure or tarnish our pride and self-love. But Christ offers an alternative. In his obedience and submission to the will of the Father, he is able to find within himself a strength that many martyrs and saints will experience after him, a strength capable of enduring the most cruel torments with holy indifference and peace. This simple word, tradidit, in the Latin text, says it all. Tradidit. The Father gave him up for us all. Judas gave him up to the priest. The mob gave him up to Pontius Pilate. Pilate, in turn, gave him up to the soldiers. And in an act of perfect love and obedience, even Christ gives himself up for me, according to St. Paul. He does not rebel. He does not complain, but he obeys in each and every step leading to his crucifixion. Because in all the circumstances, he sees the work of divine providence guiding the course of all these events for his glorification and for our salvation. He does not resist against the infernal assault, but gives himself up. Remember today, remember the innocent we have condemned. And in his obedience, let us find the strength to endure with patience and confidence not only all unfortunate natural events that might happen to us, but also those things we have to endure because of the malice of men, their injustice, their ingratitude, deception, their fraudulence, and the like, as so many stings hurting our self-love. My fellow sinners, you have seen the innocent, the just, the oppressed, enduring all these diabolical machinations, but to it all, Christ opposes one last prayer, which shall become the exclusive mark of the Christian. Christian, the one made one with Christ. Father, forgive them. They do not know what it is they are doing. Heaven and earth tremble. The devils tremble. The soldiers, the mob, the priest present, all are torn inside. And to all is given the possibility to receive mercy and forgiveness, or to reject it On which side do we stand? What should these words emulate in us? Sentiments of sorrow and contrition, or sentiments of hatred and rebellion? In Christ, if Christ, in that last moment, when all hells are unleashed against him, with his arms wide open, offers forgiveness and pardon, why is it still so difficult to do the same to those who have offended us? His pardon should extinguish in us the fire of vengeance and give place to the comforting warmth of forgiveness and mercy. He forgives our offenses. Let us also forgive those who have trespassed against us. Stabat Mater. There, his Blessed Mother stood, and at her side we stand. Me sentire vim doloris, fac ut tecum luceam. Make me feel, O Mary, the power of your sorrow, that I might mourn and lament with you. The just is crucified, and no one is moved by it. But no. No, I cannot stand by, cold and indifferent. Mary, when plunged in the waters of baptism, we pushed with you the humble door of the grotto of Bethlehem to welcome our Savior, becoming his brethren. Mary, if with you we have witnessed the changing of water into wine and have received the salvific wine and bread of redemption at Mass, Mary, if with you we have walked all the way up to Calvary in embracing our daily crosses, may we then, with you, feel the power of sorrow at the sight of our own sinfulness, and with you, mourn and lament so we may receive from your Son the consoling lights of the resurrection on the third day of our lives. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.